this week about the basic parameters of Kibbutz Avayim, Mishal Av, Mishal Ben, and other questions involving what the definition of Kibbutz Avayim is. One of the most famous sources is a tshuva of the Marik. The Marik was asked about a boy fell in love with a girl, and the father didn't want him to marry her, Romeo and Juliet type of situation, and the son wanted to marry her anyway. Does the son have to listen to the father? Marik answers, no, he does not. The Marik gives three reasons. All of them are of crucial importance to the sugya of Kibbutz Avayim. Briefly, the three reasons are, one reason is he considers it lavrol divrei Torah. Maybe we'll get to that later in the week. Second two reasons, focus on tonight a little bit. Second two reasons are, A, he says Kibbutz Avayim is Mishel Av, not Mishel Ben. The son doesn't have to spend his own money to take care of the father. Certainly doesn't have to give up the woman who he loves to please his father. Third reason the Marik says is that Kibbutz Avayim only applies to things that benefit the father, machila, mashkeu, give him food, drink, clothing, actually objective things that benefit the father, does not apply to simply listening to the father's commands. So I want to speak tonight a little bit about that third point of the Marik, that you don't have to listen to your father in general, only something that benefits him. Is that really what the Marik means? Do we pass him like that? Does everyone agree to that? It's actually a big machlokas, shonim really, achronim primarily, whether this is lahalacha or not. Classic example, your mother wants you to wear a sweater. They say a sweater is what you wear when your mother's cold. Do you have to wear a sweater when your mother wants you to? And actually, it's not even a joke, because some of the major tshuvas on this topic deal with very similar situations. There's a tshuva in the Arugas Abosim about a fellow who was very medakdek on tefillah Ezra, or tefillah in general. And his father wanted to make him promise he would never go to the mikveh unless it was warm. He was afraid of his health, apparently. The father would worry about him if he went into cold mikvahs. The son was very pious and wanted to know if he had to listen to his father on this point. Did they bring the Arizal? Talked about whether he would do tefillah when his mother objected. Rabadia bring from the Shara Mitzvahs. Arizal bitel atfila, but Arizal geras ima. Arizal once, or in general, didn't do tefillah because of his mother's command. Shagazra love shal yitvol b'mikvah b'chara. Shouldn't go to the mikvah when it was winter. How cold Arizal's mikvah is? Yes, I was thinking of that. So the question is, putting aside the mitzvah question in these cases, tefillah is a mitzvah, etc. Putting aside the mitzvah dimension, what's the general halacha? Do you have to listen to a parent if he has no direct benefit from what he's asking you to do, if he wants you to do it? So it's a big machlokas. The Marik seems to indicate one of his three reasons is you don't have to. On the other hand, other poskim argue the Marik didn't mean that as a standalone reason. It had to do with Mishal Av and Mishal Ben. Marik's point was, certainly when it's Mishal Ben, even if he's the Marik on Mishal Ben, but not when the father doesn't get anything, but not actually if it's really Mishal Av, then you would have to listen to him if someone wanted to learn. Question is, how do we pass him like the Marik? Even if the Marik did mean that, do we pass him like the Marik? The Ramah does bring the psak of the Marik that you don't have to listen to your father about who to marry. On the other hand, he doesn't bring a general thing, you don't have to listen to him at all. He just says, when it comes to marriage, you don't have to listen to him. So I want to be medayik. Ramah held only when it comes to marriage. We have the other reasons, that it's a mitzvah and so on, that you don't have to listen to him, but in general, you would have to listen to him. So the Marik is not entirely conclusive, and it's not entirely conclusive how we pass him. There are a number of other achronim throughout the generations who also engage in the general question, and there isn't really a consensus. We find achronim coming down quite strongly on both sides of the question. One of the earliest is the Maram Lublin. He had a case of the issue with the Shtar Chalitza, a technical issue, but basically the father wanted one of his children to do something which would be to the economic advantage of the other child. He would be giving something up financially to benefit another one of his children. Basically, it was the equivalent of a wealth transfer from one son to another. He asked one son to do something that would economically favor his brother. So the Maram Lublin says, nothing doing, you don't have to. The Kibbutz Avayim only applies to things that benefit the father. If he wants to run your life and tell you how to deal with your money, besides the question of Mishal Ben or Mishal Av, that's another question. Besides that, he says, the basic thing is, there's no Kibbutz Avayim on simple commands of the father for how to run your life. And he brings the Marik, who also says this point, Marik's already said this, that there's no general mitzvah to listen to your father on cases involving his preference, where there's no actual benefit.
Can I ever say everything? There should be any preference. say it would only be what things you do for me? And say what
yeah, basically, according to this view, if your father needs something, needs help, needs help getting to shul, let's say, needs help, needs anything that actually benefits his life, then, you have, then that's a mitzvah. But if he wants to tell you how to run your life, yeah, exactly. It covers a very wide variety of, as far as I understand, yeah. Now, Hernan bring up, there are a number of Rishonim in the Sugin Yivamas. The Sugin Yivamas talks about a Seid L'Chalos HaSei, when you have a mitzvah say to do something that would violate the Torah. The Gemara goes back and forth, and when do you say it's Dukha, when is it not Dukha, how do you know? In the course of the Sugya discusses Kibra Ava'im, when your father tells you to do something that violates the Torah, the halacha is that you don't do that. But again, the Gemara goes back and forth, why or why not? So the Rishonim on that Sugya, a number of Rishonim, Rashba, Rabban, Ritva, a number of Rishonim say things on that Sugya. They say that even if Kibra Ava'im, there's a chance it could be Docha, the Havmin of the Gemara, that Kibra Ava'im would be Docha, like I say, Docha Losa say, that's only something that the father actually benefits. If he just tells you to do something from which he derives no benefit, then there's no mitzvah of Kibra Ava'im, and it wouldn't be Docha the Los Sesset. Even these Rishonim, at least some of them, are equivocal. They cut both ways. On the surface, the Rishonim seem to be saying there's no mitzvah of Kibra Ava'im to obey your father when it doesn't directly benefit him. Others want to learn, Rishonim just meant that that aspect of Kibra Ava'im, for some reason, not so clear why necessarily, but for some reason, that wouldn't be Docha the Los Sesset. It doesn't mean it's not a mitzvah, but it means for some reason it doesn't have the power of a Seid Dachalos HaSeh. But there are Achronim who firmly insist that there is a mitzvah to obey your father in general. Two of the most famous ones are the Sefer HaMikno, which is in our Jifty books this week, and another one is Rabbi Eliyahu Ragoler in the Tshuvas Yad Eliyahu. They actually couch the mitzvah to listen to your father in somewhat different ways. The Sefer HaMikno says it's included in Mora Aveim, that one of the, when the Mora talks about Mora, it's a thing from Kibud, Ezu Kibud. Kibud is Machilo, Mashkeu, Malbisho, food, clothing, and raiment. That those who say it's not Kibra Aveim say it's not Machilo, it's not Mashkeu, it's not Malbisho. But the Sefer HaMikno says, wait a second, Yira Aveim. One of the examples of Yira is Lo Sosiris Dvarov, that you can't contradict your father. So the Sefer HaMikno says, flouting what he says, disregarding what he tells you to do, is the equivalent of lo soser es dvar. Other Achronim, like Ramosha and others, push back, and they say, that's not soser. Soser is you say, don't be ridiculous, or you say you're wrong. You say that's not a legitimate request. We can construct different ways of soser, where you explicitly, flatly, set aside and disregard and reject what he says. Simply not listening to him, that's not so, sir, other Achronim say. That's just doing what you want. But in any event, the Sefer HaMikno says that disobeying your father would be mora, would be lo sosir es dvarim. Yad Eliyahu gives a somewhat different hesber of why obeying your father is a mitzvah of Kibra Aveim. He says it's covered. He says, yes, machilo, mashkeu, malbisho, that's covered. He says, ain't look a covered God told me that. Being listened to is people feel respected when you listen to them. You don't listen to them, they feel disrespected. That's certainly covered, he says. It's a kal v'chomer. He repeatedly uses language, that's the greatest cover, that's the greatest disrespect when you don't listen to somebody. He was actually talking about a case where there was a rav in a certain city who used to say a certain share. And he stopped for reasons that weren't entirely clear for a while, and someone else took over and said the share, and the Rav was very either offended or there was money involved, he was getting paid for the share, and he had various objections to what the other fellow had done, including the fact that he was his Talmud and he didn't want him to do it. So one of the things the Adelio deals with is it a violation of covered Rav for the student to do something that his Rebbe doesn't want him to do? So he says, absolutely it should be. He says it's a, what could be a greater disrespect to your Rebbe than he tells you to do something and you don't listen, he says. That's certainly a lack of cover. He brings all the Rishonim. What do the Rishonim mean when he says, when they say that there's no mitzvah, it's not docha, it wouldn't be docha, lo sase? So he has an ingenious approach. He says, we find this idea in other Gemaras that a mitzvah which is not absolute, which depends on someone's position, he could either waive it or not waive it and eliminate the mitzvah by doing that. Such a mitzvah is not docha, lo sase. We just say, don't have that request. You know, withdraw your objection and you won't need to be docha, lo sase. That's what the Rishonim mean. In Yavamis, they mean that such a mitzvah wouldn't be docha because it's contingent on what the father wants. If we could just tell him not to want it, it won't be a mitzvah, so he brings riots, and such a mitzvah is not docha. But
But he holds, in terms of the magnitude of the mitzvah, it's just as much covered, it's just as much as anything else. It's more so, it's the greatest covered. The Ruvi Sabosim, his case about the mikvah, going to the mikvah, he also discusses this idea of whether there is covered to obey your father. He's also inclined to say that there is a mitzvah, even for arbitrary things and that are not directly his covered, and that which the Rishonim say it's not doke, they mean for some reason it's not doke, he doesn't explain why. Just means it's maybe less of a covered, but the Yad Eliyahu says it's more of a covered. He might concede that it's less of a covered, but it still is a mitzvah, he says, and these acronym hold there is some kind of mitzvah to obey the father, whether it's covered or mora, one or the other, but in general there would be a mitzvah in obeying a parent. So the post can go back and forth. There are posts who seem to make a distinction. They say that if he simply tells you to do something and you don't listen, okay, maybe there's no mitzvah to do that. But if the parent is actually going to worry about you, they're not going to be able to sleep, they're going to be bizarre, let's say in the case where they think what you're doing is dangerous, or they think that what you're doing is hurting yourself, and parents worry about their children, in that case, again, that's just as legitimate a need as machila mashkeu. If he doesn't have clothes and he feels cold, or he feels naked, if he doesn't have food, he feels hungry, and he feels deprived, if he worries about his kids, that's psychological pain, but it's also pain. So some of want to argue that, again, it depends when he asks you to do something, it depends how he's going to feel if you don't do it. If he just is, maybe mildly, would rather you did it, but it's not going to be seriously disturbed by it, maybe that's nothing. But if he's actually going to be bothered, he's actually going to worry and experience tsar, then again, that is like machila mashkeu, simply because of the tsar involved. I mentioned earlier that this kind of formulation, or the formulation of the Yad Eliyahu, that listening to him is the greatest covet, and not listening to him is the greatest disrespect. So there's a popular expression in Jewish culture, someone's will, that's his honor. Doing what he wants is listening to him, regardless of whether you feel it's objectively covered or not, that's the cover that a person needs. And people who write these articles on trying to track down the sources of Jewish proverbs, which are widespread but have no real source, this is a popular one on these lists. It's not a Chazal anywhere. Some say that a similar version is in the Yerushalmi somewhere. But it's interesting because one of the early sources for this expression actually occurs in the Rishonim in Kibbutz Avaim, in the opposite direction. The Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says in Sefer Chassidim, he says that Ritzono Shlagim Zeu Kvodo, he's not using it as a reason for you to listen to your father, he's saying almost the opposite. He's saying if the parents want to do things to the son that are not really honorable for the parents, they want to do this, run errands for the son, they want to pass him food, they want to serve him, he says. You might think that, the Gemara really talks about this in Kedushin, but you might think that that's not covered. How can the son let his parents serve him or act toward him as if he's the master and they're the servant? So the Sefer Chassidim says, no, Ritzono Shlagim Zeu Kvodo, that's what they want, that's their covered. If that's what makes them happy, then giving them what they want is covered. A common idea that ultimately sometimes you have to do what somebody wants, even if you think objectively it's not the right thing. So the Sefer Chassidim is using Ritzono Shlagim Zeu Kvodo to say that the parent, that the child can accept honor from the parent. But other poskim are basically arguing that Ritzono Shlagim Zeu Kvodo, they're applying it in another direction to say that if the parent wants something, the son should listen, because that's really the Adelio's point. Since Ritzono Shlagim Zeu Kvodo, if you don't obey his ratzon, ein lecha violation of kavod, God only said.